The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So here we are, back to the future, Genesis and beyond. And this is our scripture that we'll be using. Let's see if I got it turned on. And there we go. Oop. Genesis, boy, it does brighten up on here. Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then back in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. Jesus is everywhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And we're going to go from Genesis and everywhere in between. That's why I came up with the Genesis and beyond idea. The Old Testament, you've heard this before, is the New Testament concealed. In other words, everything that we see in the New Testament is in the Old Testament, but it's in types and shadows and covered up by divine purpose. But in the New Testament, when it was written, they quoted the Old Testament. They revealed to us the things that were written way back then, the prophetic words. And so we have the great privilege of hindsight, where we can look back and see what they were writing about. You know, a lot of times we criticize the Old Testament writers, especially in Jesus' time, and said, well, why didn't they see it? Why didn't they know what Isaiah said? Well, they knew it, but they didn't quite know it. You know, they kind of had an idea, but they weren't quite 100% sure. And only with the vision of hindsight and the Old Testament being revealed can we see these prophetic words. So in studying in the book of Genesis, which will be our primary area of study, is like going to Mars and looking for life. It's there, but you have to look for it. We're like little explorer rovers going over the surface of Genesis, trying to find information. Now, we won't do an in-depth study like we did on Romans. We went verse by verse, but we're going to go through it and pick up some highlights and some things. I haven't preached a lot from the Old Testament, and there's a reason for that. I'm a New Testament preacher. I love the New Testament. You know, that's the great revelation, and I like it, although I do read and heed and believe the Old Testament. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Created it all. That we could behold it and see it. And you'll see some scriptures as we go through this, of just how magnificent all of this is. And by the way, we showed a video Wednesday night. And it's, I don't remember the exact title, but it's a Science in Creation. And it was just for the naysayers who say, you know, there is no God, or that they have evolution. And to have seen this video, and this scientist explained how some of the animals and the life couldn't possibly have evolved. Couldn't possibly, and I won't try to go through it. And it, we have, I think, three more of those we'll be showing for the next 3 weeks on Wednesday night. So if you want to see something very, very interesting, in vivid color, I might add, I'd encourage you to come and see that.
I think the series name is How Does the Evolutionist Explain This?
Yeah, How Do the Evolutionists Explain This? And they can't explain it, and that's the whole point of it. So when you study Genesis and you study the scriptures, the personality of God and the person of God is just manifest everywhere. He's the creator that breathed life into Adam and planted the tree of life. He's the wounded side of Adam that produced a bride. He's the ark that carried life through a sea of death. He's a dove that returned with a branch declaring life. He's the rainbow of promise. He's the promise made to Abraham. He's the rescuer of Lot. He is Melchizedek, without beginning and without end. He's the ram sacrificed to save Isaac. He's the one who labored for Rachel. He is Joseph, who rescued his family and the entire nation of Israel. That and so much more is highlighted in the book of Genesis. It's just filled with life. It's like the creation is teeming with life, and Genesis is teeming with life, and all life exists and consists in Christ. That's He created it, and He causes it to be and causes it continue to be. And we're going to spend the next several weeks going back to Genesis and forward into the other books of the New Testament to reveal what was concealed. And we begin today by going back to the beginning. As soon as I get my computer, there you go. Thank you, little computer. And how did it all begin? How did it all begin? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. We couldn't begin to comprehend all that we just read. It's not within our capability to understand it all. But we know that in the beginning, an eternity past, there was an existence, and that there will be an end in eternity future. There's this thing that God created called time and place, and we live in time and place. And He lives in that which surrounds time and place, the eternal now. And when the book of Genesis begins, it says, "In the beginning, God," no explanation, no great vivid tale and story of how it all God began and where He came from and how He exists and His characteristics. He just says, "In the beginning, God, He was, He is, He will ever be." You know, that's a great courage to us, because this world we live in gets kind of crazy sometimes. And we need to know that somebody's in control. And we can look to this great God of creation. He is Elohim, as a word is translated into the word God in this particular place. And it's an interesting word in that it's a plural, where we get the very embryos of an understanding of the great Trinity. And it speaks of His power and His might. In that very word, it's a very dynamic, powerful word, and it's where we get the concept of Almighty God. In the beginning, Almighty God. In the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, this Trinity created both the heavens and the earth. And he uses a word called bara. That is the word that we translate into creation. It created. And it's a word that's very interesting. When we create things, we take pieces and put them together and make some other things. You know, we do it through science in a lot of different ways. But this word is a word that says that He took where there was nothing and caused something to be. Now, that's so difficult for us to comprehend, but it wasn't that He got pieces, parts, and put it together. You all remember that joke, and I'm going to see if I can remember it. I didn't plan on telling you about the where the devil was having this discussion with Jesus, and he said that he could create life just as well as Jesus had done it. And Jesus said, well, you know, if you think you can do it, you just go ahead. And he reached down and scooped up some earth and started to form it. And Jesus slapped his hand and said, get your own earth. You know, can you do it with nothing? And that's exactly what happened. The world in the beginning, let me try to do it in a linear way. Consider this edge of this podium, which is a linear, and there's a beginning right here, and there's an end right here. In the beginning, it describes that there was a beginning. Right here is the beginning. And we don't know what was on the outside of the beginning, but right here at the beginning, in the beginning, the earth was a certain way. It was void, and it was filled with darkness, and it wasn't a very pleasant place. You couldn't see very much. And that's exactly the way that we are without God doing something in our lives. He created it, and that's the way that it was, and he did something. Now, theologians, and those of you who are theologians in this room, and those of you watching by the internet, know that in some circles, and I don't dispute this as being true, that there's a great chasm of time between verse 1 and verse 2, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was, as I just described it. And it said that God couldn't create anything that was good. Everything he created would be good. So that evidently something happened between the time God created the heavens and the earth, and we see his spirit hovering over the water. And they believe, and again, I don't dispute this, but I don't necessarily embrace it either, that that was when the great war between Lucifer and God took place. And the war was so vast and so powerful as these mighty created beings of God warred that it did damage to the whole universe. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. And it doesn't matter for our purposes here, but I just want to tell you that so you can, when anybody brings it up, you can say, oh yeah, I know about that. My pastor taught me about that. And then I'll say, ah, what a great pastor you have that he taught you about that. So what we're going to do today, we're going to address the question of what happened back in the beginning. And the first thing, how did it all begin? God's grace was in the beginning. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, and by the way, this word said, you know, we say a lot of things that we said, we really don't get it. It's a word filled with great dynamics. It's, and God said, and he just, like a hurricane, he spoke out. And when he did, you know, it says, and when God said, let there be light. And it says, and there was. Like light couldn't even be stopped. It would have to be obedient. Everything had to be obedient to the voice of God. When God said, and things happened. And God said, it's good. And he named things. It's interesting that God named all the big stuff and told Adam, why don't you name the animals and things you see? But he got the name light and day and all that kind of stuff. He said, and then God said, down in verse 26, let us, okay, those of you who are looking for it, there it is, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working together, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky. Remember, all this has already been done. We had leapfrogged forward a little bit. And all the wild animals, all the things that we saw in that beautiful video, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Oh my goodness. You know, God created us in his own image. What a diversity and a kaleidoscope of colors and personalities and things that God must have, that he created us, and that's who we are. We're like that. We're so unusual, and we're so wonderfully made. The psalmist said, We were wonderfully knit together in our mother's womb. If you've seen it, with the great advantage we have of science today, when you see a fertilized egg begin to divide into cells, and every one of those little cells holds a map, and that map is a DNA, and it knows where the ears go, and they always go in the right place unless something really, really bad happens. You know, you got an ear where your nose is, and something bad happened. It wasn't supposed to be that way. You know, something went wrong. But everything goes where it's supposed to be. The brains go where it's supposed to be. Some of you got bigger brains than others. I was going to say smaller brains, but that would be a negative way of looking at it. You know, but the brain and all the map on the inside of that, we're just so wonderfully made. So wonderfully made. And we're made in the image of God. What an awesome, awesome, awesome thought that is, to be made in the image of God. To be made in the image of God. Male and female, he made them. And why did he make them male and female? So that they could reproduce and procreate and be a part of it. God's grace was at the beginning. Deep in the heart of God was a desire to create something special. We sat here this morning, and I mean, that video just was so, the video, the colors, the pictures are just so vivid. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. God created all that, and the stars in the skies, and the night and day, and the mountains, and the seas, and all those things existed. But something was missing, and God wanted to share this creation that he had just created with someone special. And he created you and me, that we could enjoy it. And he could enjoy it with us. And he could enjoy watching us enjoy it. Have you ever, like on Christmas morning or maybe a birthday or something maybe you made with your hands and you gave it to a child and you just sat there and just in that moment in time just watched them? I mean, how much fun is that? The excitement of it all. And I believe God in the same way watches us unwrap this thing called creation. And enjoy the beauty of it, from a sunrise to a sunset, to the birth of a child, to the beauty of an ocean. I remember the first time I went to Hawaii, and I was on a mountain cliff overlooking the ocean, and where they have these big surfers go, and they, you know, the guys who have lost their minds go out and surf in those great big curls of water. That's where we were. And to watch these waves come rolling in, and those of you who have been here know what I'm talking about, and crash upon the rocks of the shore and spray go everywhere. And the sound of it, we were a long ways away, but you could hear the roar of the ocean. Boy, what a moment it was to see that. And God created that. But more importantly, he created me to see it and to look at it. And say, God, how wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. And God lets us see these things. But you know, everything God created, he spoke into existence. Let there be light. Let there be firmament. Let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And he just, everywhere he said, let there be, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And it was there, and it was there. And everything obeyed his voice as these things were created. But when it came to you and me, God did something different in creation. He reached down out of his heart and formed mankind. It's a work of art. It's the Mona Lisa being painted. It's the Sistine Chapel. It's the David being chiseled out of marble. It's you know, you let your imagination run. It's all those things that God decided to do in a very personal way. It wasn't enough for you and I to be spoken in existence. He could have done it. He could have said, let there be George. And George would have been. But he didn't. He decided to form George. Atom by atom. Molecule by molecule. Quark, I believe, is the smallest thing. You know, all those things put together. Personally done. You know, there's a big difference between buying something at a store and making something. I had a great conversation with Roe Friday night at the Valentine banquet, and he was telling me about a wooden boat that he was in when he came to the Lord. And it's a great story. Maybe he'll share it one day. I don't want to steal his thunder. But the interesting thing was the boat that he was working on restoring, his dad had built it with his own hands. And that boat means a lot more to you than one that I bought, you know, from the boat place. I mean, you see your dad in it, don't you? You see his handiwork. You know his personality is in it. And that's the way it is with God. He sees us and he sees his personality in us. All the things that he did, he formed by hand. It was an ultimate labor of love. One of the things that we try so hard to do around here is to make you understand how much God really loves you. How much he really loves you. And if you think about it in this way, I think it'll help you some. That you were handmade, one of a kind, purposely. Every little part of you created by God the way he wanted. The way he wanted you to be. And so often we try to change ourselves and be something we're not. We try to be like somebody else, the Joneses, the proverbial other people, instead of enjoying who we are and loving ourselves because God loves us and loving each other because God loves all of us. And then he did, oh, I just love this. I mean, I wish I'd have been there to see it. I mean, he created this thing. It had no life. It was just there. And he reached down. And the same breath that said, let there be light, and there was, reached down, and I believe gently breathed the breath of life into Adam. And Adam became a living being. Wow. There was a movie some years ago, and it's just a great movie. It's kind of a cross between a great love story and a great science fiction movie in many ways. And the name of the movie is Somewhere in Time. And if you saw the movie, you know it. And the former Superman, who was a leading man.
Christopher Reeve.
Thank you. And the leading lady, who was?
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour, that's right. And in the beginning of the movie, he goes to this old hotel. He's a writer. And there's a portrait of this amazingly beautiful woman, who is the leading lady, and he's just enamored with her, and he falls in love with the picture. And it's unrequited love because it's just a portrait. But if the movie makers are able to do, and I won't tell you the story, she comes to life and he sees her, the real her living, and it just, he loved her before in the portrait, but when he saw her in the reality, he was just stunned by it all. It's a great movie. It's got something for everybody. But I believe that's what happened with man. We were just a portrait. We were just a form, something he had made. But when he put life into it, a whole new dynamic took place. It says Adam became a living being. And if I can say this so you can hear it, God fell in love with Adam. He loved him. He loved him so much, he'd go spend time with him. He took him to this garden that he created. He said, "This is yours, buddy. Enjoy it all." And God would come and walk and talk and fellowship with Adam. Well, he had the whole universe to take care of. What you doing wasting time with one little old guy in the middle of a garden, in the middle of a planet that's just nothing compared to the great expanse of the universe that we've seen through the magic of Hubble telescope and other pictures and cameras been shot out into outer space, and we see these pictures. And God came down to this little place where Adam was. And why? Because Adam was something special. He had life, and he had God's life in him, and God loved him. And God said, after a while, enjoying the love that he had for Adam, he wanted Adam to have someone to love. And it's the only thing in all the creation story that God said wasn't good. He said, "It's not good for Adam to be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet suitable, a helper, a companion, a completion," is what it really says. "I'll make the completion of Adam." As if the creation story hadn't been completed yet. There was something that was not right. Adam couldn't love the way God was loving because he had no one to love other than God and himself. And God caused him to go to sleep, and he reached into his side and he removed a bride from Adam's side. What a day that was. What a day that was when Adam woke up and said, "Wow." And then, "What happened to my side here?" You know? And then he saw, and Adam fell in love with Eve. What a love feast it was. Oh, it was a glorious time. Adam and Eve and God and a great trio of love. You know, there's another story of another bride who was born out of someone's side, and it was Christ's bride. And when the spear was driven into Jesus' side, and his blood flowed out, and the church was born, and his bride was born out of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he loves us. He loves you. He loves his bride more than Adam loved Eve. Jesus loves you and me, his bride. I think the greatest gifts that God gave us was that he created us in his image. He could have created us out of the image of a tree. We could have had trees that didn't walk and talk and trees that walked and talked. I mean, he could have done that. He could have created us out of a starburst. He could have done a lot of things. Not Starbucks, starburst. There's so much he could have done, but he made us in his own image, and he gave us dominion over everything. You know, we read the story of Joseph. Remember Joseph and Pharaoh? And when Pharaoh said, "Man, you're so cool. You were able to interpret my dream. You're smarter than the average bear. I don't have anybody like you. You're in control. Whatever you say happens." So only a few things are left mine. It's the governing of things. And that's the way God did with us. He said, "We have dominion over everything. We can do whatever we want with this earth. We can make it better or make it worse. Whatever we want to do, God gave us dominion over all creation." And then he did something really, really cool. Really, really cool. Between Adam and between Eve, he gave the greatest intimacy known to mankind. The greatest intimacy that exists in all of creation is the intimacy between a man and a woman. And out of that intimacy, that giving of life and love and bodies to one another, comes forth new creation. And we have our children. And we look in their faces and we see ourselves. And what do? We love them. They don't do a thing to earn our love, but we love them just as they are. In fact, they do everything to keep us from loving them. You know, they mess themselves, they cry, they have temper tantrums. They don't care about us one whit except for us to meet their needs. And we love them anyway. And in the same way, we don't give God any reason in the world to love us. We mess things up. We cry and rant and kick and want to have our way, and we don't want the nurture and the care that He wants to give us, but He loves us anyway. Isn't it remarkable that God gave us His children to love, to reproduce? And man expended no effort at all in the creation. He just gets to enjoy it. Didn't do anything. Adam wasn't there. Eve wasn't there. They didn't do anything. And Adam can't say, well, you know, I helped make Eve. He didn't do a thing except go to sleep. Big deal. You know? And God created her and gave her to Him. And why am I telling you all this? Because we can't take any credit for being born again. What did you do to bring spiritual life to yourself? What did you do to be what you are in Christ, the righteousness of God? You haven't done a thing. Jesus did it all. Just as He created all of creation, He created all there is in the kingdom of God. He did it all. And we so often try to take claim and blame, claim for what we do right and blame for what we do wrong. And the truth is that God did it all for us and created us new and made us the new beings. In fact, in the book of Romans, it calls Jesus the second Adam. And it talks about how much greater the second Adam is than the first Adam. I want to show this to you. How did it all begin? God's Word was in the beginning. John 1, 11 through 14. He came to that which his own was His own. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Do you understand that a little bit better this morning? That which was His own. Okay. But His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, Christ, became flesh, made His dwelling among His creation. I love this sentence right here. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. What a description that is of Jesus. You know, what a description that is of Jesus. God spoke, and what He said became light and life. Adam was born of God in the flesh and was the firstborn of the will of God. Believers in Christ, the second Adam, are also born of Him. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, and by our words of faith, we become spirit. It's not enough for you to be born in the flesh, because in the flesh, this flesh will die. This flesh has the stain of the sin of Adam, and that's next week's story, and I'll tell you about that next week, give you a preview of that. That's where we're going next week. But now, that stain came to us, that sin nature. We sin by our very nature. Sin doesn't make us sinners. We are sinners who sin. You see the difference? Sin doesn't make us a sinner. It's our sin nature, the fact that we are sinners, that makes us sin. So what God did in Christ Jesus was to say, remember he talked to Nicodemus. Nicky, buddy, you're a pretty smart old boy, but you don't know nothing. Let me tell you what. Unless a man is born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicky says, I don't get it. He thinks like a flesh man. Shall I go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus says, you don't understand where the wind's coming from, the sun. You don't know nothing, Nicky. I'm just telling you that unless you're born again, not of water and the flesh, which is talking about the physical birth, all you ladies know about that, but born of the Spirit, you can't enter in. You can't see it. You won't even get a clue. What you need is a new way of thinking, and you will get that in the mind of Christ. Now, he didn't say that all right there, but I'm just filling in some of the blanks for you. It's necessary that we're born again of the Spirit of God, and we are born, as I quoted earlier, not of flesh and blood, not of a corruptible seed, which is talking about Adam's seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God. And the Word became flesh, and that's what we're born of the Word of God. Just as God spoke to that which was not in existence and created something out of nothing, when you're born again, that's exactly what happens to you. He doesn't do a refurb. He doesn't do a makeover. He doesn't clean you up. He creates you new in the kingdom, and you have the breath of life. God breathed life into Adam. He became a living being, and he had living life on this earth. And when God breathed into you a mortal being, you became spirit. You became spirit. You had spirit life. And just as Adam had life and he walked and he lived for, 800, 900 years? I don't remember how old it was when he finally died. But you have a different kind of life, and that life is what? It is eternal life. It is resurrected life. And that life can never die. Beloved, you will never die in Christ. You will live forever and ever in eternity. And when this linear time that I, on the podium, which I illustrated from you, the beginning was over here. And when the end comes and you will move into the eternal realm and you will understand it all, you will know then what you don't know. But I'm here to tell you that you will live, not die, live forever. You cannot die. You cannot kill yourself. Tell me, what weapon would you use to kill eternal life? What could you use? In order to kill eternal life, you would have to kill the Word of God Himself. You would have to murder Jesus. That's the only way that would happen. Jesus died once for man, and He rose from the dead, and He will never, ever die because He has eternal life, and that eternal life has been passed on to you when you were born again. You will never die. Amen. Give God praise. That is good news. Man. Make everybody get excited thinking about that. Jesus is still creating as he did in the beginning, but instead of creating physical things, he's creating eternal things, which are born again believers. The flesh has now become spirit by the sovereign work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God belongs to those who are of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go on. One more thing. How did it all begin? God's eternity was in the beginning. Now, those of you who are English majors know that this is bad English, but you'll understand why I said it this way. God's eternity was in the beginning. John 1:1-3. In the beginning, back here, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word of God. God spoke it into being. He created it. Christ himself was there at the beginning. The pre-incarnate Christ. People say, well, what did he look like? He looked like God. This is exactly what he looked like. He looked like himself. It's hard for us to find mortal words to describe the eternal God. I mean, it's just hard to do. In fact, if you try hard enough, you'll get a headache. That's why he didn't try to explain it to us. The only explanations we get at all is through his Son. Listen, we cannot understand God without understanding his Son, Jesus Christ, because he's just like his dad. And that's how we see he is the image of God, the express image of God. The first day was the start of everything good. That's eternity past. There was eternity past, and there was the beginning and the first day. God was there. No question about that. Without God there, there'd be nothing. Light was there. Let there be light. The new heaven and the new earth were created from the Word of God. He spoke it. God created the heavens and the earth. I love that. I guess because I kind of grew up in the space industry and watched our feeble attempts to get a man on the moon and went through that whole process. I'm a stargazer, I guess, in many ways. And, you know, I like that. And I see these pictures, some of what we saw this morning, and I think of the immensity of God. That one picture, I don't know if you realize it, it was showing it looked like stars that were coming to us. You know, it looked like a Star Trek movie where they were going through the stars. Those were galaxies. Galaxies. What we call the Milky Way, those were galaxies we were looking at. How many there are, we have no idea. We have no concept. We don't have enough science to reach out far enough to see the edge of the universe. The further out we go, the more we see. The more we look, the more we find. In the creation story, you gotta love God's sense of humor. He went through all this creation, everything he did, and at the end of it all, he says, and he hung the stars in place also. Like, duh! You mean you just thought of that at the end? You just hung the stars in place also? And we can't even begin to comprehend it all? Life was created by the Word of God. Life exists. He spoke the animals and the fish and the birds and everything. He spoke them all into being. And man was created by the hand and by the breath of God. And everything was good. Everything was really good when Eve showed up. Up to that point, everything wasn't good. If something wasn't good, Eve showed up, everything is good. Now, in the last day, will be the start of everything good. And eternity past, future. Eternity past, eternity future. Everything will be gone. God will be there. I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures. I don't normally read this many scriptures, but I think you'll understand why I'm going to read them. Revelation 21. And you can go back and read this all in chapter 21 and chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." God will be there at the end. You could rest assured. Light will be there. Jesus will light up everything. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. Wow. And the Lamb is its lamp, Jesus. The new heaven and the new earth will be created. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This cursed place that we live on is going to disappear, and we'll have a new heaven, a new earth. Well, will they have the Milky Way? I don't know. You know, Will it have all the galaxies out there? I don't know. Well, what's it going to look like, Pastor Morris? I don't know. All I know is it is going to be good. Listen, friends, if what he did before is good and the new is going to be better, just as the second Adam was better than the first Adam, being born again is better than being born, can you only imagine what the new creation will look like? Holy cow, as my daddy used to say. Holy cow. Paul said, I got a glimpse into the third heaven. He said, man, I'll tell you what. I don't know whether I was sleeping or whether I was awake. I don't know. I didn't drink too much wine. Maybe I did. I don't know. Man, he said, I saw things it's not even lawful for me to even talk about. What did he say? I don't know. God gave him a glimpse, I guess. Life will be there. Listen to this. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Life will be everywhere. No more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. It'll be eternal life existing for eternity, and we will be there. Come on, beloved, we will be there. We will be there. We will be there. We will see what I'm reading to you today. Said, well, I don't understand it all. They didn't understand the Old Testament, but it came to pass in the New Testament in Christ. We don't understand what eternity future will be, but I am telling you, we will be there. And when we'll see it, you'll say, wow, Morris, you were right. You didn't know anything. You were right. It's better than we even imagined. That's what waits. Filled with life. And the tree of life will be there on either side of the river of life. And we'll eat of the tree of life freely. We have the first fruits of that through Christ as we eat and partake of him that gives us life. And man will be there. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. We're going to march in. We're not going to do any second lining. We're going to do some first lining. We're going to be marching into the city. I've been in some beautiful cities. I've had the privilege of being in some beautiful cities. I think probably the most beautiful city that I've seen, and many would testify to be true, is to go to Vancouver, Canada. It's an absolutely breathtaking city. I mean, it's just the structures, the ambiance, the mountains, the rivers, the ocean. I mean, it's just, the whole place is breathtaking. If you ever get a chance to go to Vancouver, sell one of your kids and go. I mean, it'd be worth the price. I mean, it is just a magnificent place to be. But when that city four square comes down into this new heaven and this new earth, if we didn't have glorified bodies, we'd pop like a balloon to see what God has created for us. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and John tries to write it out, and people think John was doing drugs or something. I mean, that couldn't be true. It's more than true. It's absolutely the truth. And it's the place designed for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're not getting fire insurance. We're getting eternity. Amen. In life. Amen. It's not just escaping hell. It's all the glory that goes with it. Because we are God's children, born of the Spirit of God, and everything will be good. Listen to this. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. We will see him as he is. Man, you want to have some fun? This is the only book in the whole Bible that says you'll be blessed from reading it and hearing it Read the book of Revelation. People say, well, I'm scared. It's got scary stuff and it's got icky stuff. I don't like that stuff. You know, they got dragons and demons and all that stuff. Well, start reading it with the eyes of the Spirit instead of the eyes of the flesh, and you'll see the glory of God from page to page to page. I remember when I was in seminary and I took the book of Revelation as a course, and I had to study it in an academic environment, and it was a final exam, and I went up in the library down at the seminary. Here's these little cubicles you can get in and get real private, and I got in there, and I was trying to memorize all the stuff I'd have to regurgitate on the test, and as I was reading, I was just speed reading through the book of Revelation, and the Spirit of God came on me, and I just began to rejoice and to weep, and that little bitty cubicle turned into the glory of God just by reading that book. I mean, just going through it and the words popping off the page and going into my spirit and seeing the life and the beauty and all that God has prepared for those who love Him and are called by His name. That's what's waiting for us, and you can find out a whole lot of it in the book of Revelation. Say, well, I don't understand it. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you understand. You don't need to understand it all. Just get a little glimmer will be enough for you to see what it'll be like. To see the river of life. You know, we got a picture of a river down here. We see the Mississippi River. It's icky and brown and, you know, stinky, and God knows what's in it. Would kill a dinosaur if they weren't already all dead. I mean, that stuff is bad. People in New Orleans are dying, drinking that stuff. They glow in the dark. It's terrible. But this is a crystal clear river. It's brighter than a river coming out of a mountain. It's more beautiful than a glacial river, which is, if you ever seen a glacial river, they are magnificent. The color is beyond any description I could ever come up with. And this river is the river of life, and it's flowing through the city. And we'll be strolling on and on down the river of life. You know, just enjoying it. I don't know, they might have ducks in it. I don't know what they'll have in it. They might have fish in it, but it is going to be magnificent. And as we walk along, we can pluck some fruit off the tree of life and eat of it. They won't have to worry about getting off the wrong tree, because there'll be no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It'll be gone forevermore. We don't have to worry about temptation, disease, washing it, whether it was it had chemicals on it when it was grown. None of that will exist. And there'll be no evil and no sin. And it will be, to use an old word out of the Bible, it will be paradise raised to the power of infinity. That's God's promise for us. Back to the future. So God in eternity past created flesh in His image. And Jesus created spirit in His image in eternity future. Flesh changed to spirit by the power of God. This is just the introduction to the book of Genesis. And there's so much more as we go through it, and we'll study. We can look at some of the great stories that we all know and just enjoy those things. And you'll notice that I even had things go from the bottom to the top just so we could get a picture of things not being in the order that we think they are. And next week, God willing, we'll talk about the garden began the end. Amen? Sound like fun? All right, let's all stand. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day, glorious day that'll be. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for being such babies and whining about everything. Forgive us for our crummy attitudes that we have so often. Forgive us for thinking You were a puppet on a string to jump when we said jump, and to leap when we said leap, and to move when we said move. Forgive us for our crummy infantile attitudes. Lord, let us grow up in the Spirit even now, that we might be the children of God, mature and grown in the spirit world. And let us see, O God, not with the eyes of men, but let us see with the eyes of Christ within us, that we might be even like the disciples of old who said those words we read this morning. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, filled with grace and truth. Father, let us see You that way, and let us live serving You that way, and let us see each other the exact same way, as children of God, filled with grace and truth. Let it be done. Father, let us carry this word from Genesis and Revelation with us today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives and be excited about who we are in Christ. Thank you, God, for speaking those great historic words, and let there be light and life and firmament in Adam and Eve and us. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray together and we shout our amen. Woo! You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer, come on up here and I'll pray for you. I'll breathe the breath of life on you. Hallelujah.